Hi everyone, this is Yaro Starak here. Welcome to another Mastermind teleconference session. Today on the line we have a nice group of people, and I'm just going to give our usual instructions so you know how to do this in case this is your first group call. This is now being recorded, so if you don't want to be identified during the call, just don't say your name. And these calls are redistributed to other people and people in different programs, so do be aware that this is a public recording. You can use a fake name if you like, or just don't say your name if you're worried about it. Now, to ask a question, the system works on a lecture mode, which includes a hand-raising function. So to raise your hand, all you have to do is press the star, what is it?
Star nine.
Star nine? Yeah, there it is, star nine. Thanks, Gideon. Star nine on your telephone. It's been a while. Star nine on your telephone pad or your Skype pad. And a little hand will be raised on the control panel that myself and Gideon can see. And we'll go through those calls and unmute each person one by one. And when it's your turn to ask the question, a little lady will say that you're live, and you can just start answering your question or introduce yourself if you're happy to use your name. And we'll go from there. So lecture mode is active already. So if you do have questions, you can press star nine right now and your hand will be raised and then we'll get to it. But first, let me welcome Gideon Shalwick. Thanks for being here, Gideon, again.
Hey, thanks, Yara. And I've just like you mentioned before, I've just come back from a bit of a holiday, so I'm nice and fresh and ready to rock.
Yeah, so lots of questions for Gideon. We can test out how fresh he is. And so if anyone does have a question, you can press star nine now. Oh, and of course, if you're having any problems with this or you just want to communicate without being live on the call, we have a chat room, which you would have seen a link to when you first went to the teleconferences page, which is at entrepreneurs-journey.com/teleconferences. And right at the top there, you'll see a big icon that says click to chat with me, which opens up the live chat room on a different web page, which is at tinychat.com. And there's already a few members in there. You've got about 13 people, who are starting to talk through text, and that's a good place for you to, if you have any problems with the chat function, like you can't raise your hand or it's, you're having issues, you can type your problem in there so we know about it. And we'd prefer if you ask your question live, but if you're maybe a little bit shy, you are welcome to post in the chat room. But for the time being, we'll go to. Oh well, no. Not getting any live questions here, so if you do have any question at all, we've got a full room, so it must be a room full of very shy people. You're welcome to press star nine anytime, and you have our devoted attention to help you with any question regarding your blog, starting a membership site, recording video, basically doing anything with internet marketing or online business. Gideon and I are welcome to help you out with that. There we are. Okay. All right. Ready? Number one.
Hi guys, how's it going tonight?
Good,
Thanks.
thanks.
Good. This is Mike from Fort Lauderdale. Real quick question for you. I really enjoyed one of the latest posts we had that the video post that dealt with putting audio up on your blog or website. How far off are we from getting that video training with putting the video up on your website or your blog?
Good question, Mike. In fact, the next module goes into detail with getting a video online onto your blog in particular. I do have another website at getyourvideoonline.com that does show you some initial steps for getting, creating your first video using a webcam and getting it onto your blog. But I will be creating a new set of videos for Become a Blogger specifically that'll go into that a little bit more detail. So there's in total 8 videos for the audio module, and I've just finished all the content for that. And so all up, the audio module should take about a month, about 4 weeks, and then after that, we'll get straight into the video tutorials, the video tutorials.
Okay, gotcha. 'Cause I'm not techie at all, unfortunately, like most people, and I really do need those modules 'cause it's very valuable information you guys are giving. Also, just a real quick note on the teleconference call-in details that you guys send out. the local numbers that they have for us to call, and I've had a problem with this each week, the one for Fort Lauderdale, when I call that number and try to punch in the conference room number, it does not accept it. So I end up having to go back and find the, it's like a 201 number for calling from the U.S., and then it will accept that one. But that local Fort Lauderdale number, the code or whatever you punch in after that is not accurate.
Okay, Mike. I'm not sure if that's isolated to you or that's a general problem. So if anyone else on the call heard that and you are using a local number or have attempted to use a local number, you got to let us know by raising your hand or just typing into the chat room. Just be good to know if this is an isolated problem to Mike, or if it's not, then I can raise a query up with the high-def conferencing service and find out what's going on there. Mike, I know I've had some problems joining teleconference calls before myself. A similar issue just won't take the conference number and says it's not valid or something like that. And I've often found that that was often my phone connection that was causing a problem. But, you know, given it's a local connection, you have to think it would be reasonably stable. So let's see what other people have to say, and then I can chase it up.
All righty. Thanks a lot, you guys. I'll be in for the rest of the call. Thanks.
Great stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Next caller.
Hello. Alfred.
Hello.
Hi, this is Omar the Power Dealer in Atlanta. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks, Omar.
Good, good. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Okay, good, because I got the Logitech USB microphone. I'm testing it, so.
Excellent.
Good. I have a question about when I write I post an article on my blog, and sometimes I want to reference a previous article that I've written, which I've done a few times already. But what happens is in WordPress, it shows up like as a comment. Like if I approve it, it shows as a comment in the blog, in the article. I don't want that to show as a comment. I just want it to be a link. You know, I thought you said at one point it was a good idea to link back to previous articles that you've done, but then it shows as a comment if I approve it.
It sounds like you're talking about trackbacks. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's probably what it is. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know if it's I don't know if I want to totally disable that, but I just don't want my article to show a linked article of my own to show as a comment.
Okay, yeah, that's a trackback. There is a plugin you can do that will stop all internal trackbacks. Because what happens is your blog will, if you link to your previous blog post, it will leave that as a trackback link, which looks like a comment basically. And you know, that's just a function within WordPress. It pings individual posts, will always ping other individual posts, regardless of whether it's on your blog or someone else's blog. So there is a plugin for that. In fact, it may be a function in the latest WordPress. I'm not sure, to switch off internal trackbacks. But there is definitely. Yeah, Gideon, you don't know that plugin, do you, by any chance?
No, I don't. Sorry, Ara.
I remember seeing it because someone else was annoyed by the trackbacks. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, stress about it too much. Obviously, you're linking to your post already, so it's getting one incoming link, and you know, the trackback kind of almost makes it look like you've got more social proof because you've got more comments left on that post. So, you know, it's not like a really, really bad thing or a really, really good thing.
Yeah, I just don't like it.
Yeah, well, if that's good enough, then yeah, you want to get that plugin. So, I can't remember the name of it.
It's not the simple trackback validation one, is it?
That doesn't sound like it. I've never used it. I know I only came across it quite recently that if you look up, I'm sure, trackback WordPress plugins. Let's do it now. Yeah, nothing's coming up.
Yeah, the one that I've found is looks like it's more for trackback. It stops trackback spam, so I'm not sure if that's the one
you're
thinking
about. Yeah, there'll
be a lot
of those. That's the thing. This is not a common thing people want to do. They want to stop trackback spam, so you might have to dig around.
Okay. I can check to see if I have the latest version of WordPress installed anyway, and I didn't look long enough to see if – I wouldn't know what it's called anyway if it has the feature to disable – internal trackback. So I'll take a look, and in the meantime, I guess we can look for the plugin.
Right, and if I think using the word internal trackback is probably a good choice when searching for this. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not getting it in a quick Google search, but we'll keep having a look as we go through the call, and if it comes up, I'll mention it.
Very good. That's the only question I have for now. Thanks.
All right. No problem. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Did you want to say something, Gideon? I've got a couple more callers. Or
what was I going to say? There was something.
Well, you think about it. I'll go to the next caller.
It was something from the chat room, but I'm just looking for it. But I'll mention it in the next one, maybe, if I can find it.
Caller, you're live. Hello, caller. I don't want to say the name in case your name is not something you want to say live on the call. So, all right, I'll mute you again. If you want to raise your hand, try again, we will try again. Moving on to the next one.
Oh, hi, this is me. It's Darla from Toronto.
Hey, Darla.
Hi, Darla.
How are you all doing? I'm really enjoying the sound stuff, by the way. Just ready to put some sound on my blog. But my question isn't about that. It's about membership sites. A few weeks ago, I posted on the forums a question about membership sites. And Yara, you came back with a question, what do you have in mind? Is it a proper membership site? And I really didn't know what was meant by a proper membership site as opposed to improper membership site, I guess.
Maybe. Bad choice of word, perhaps.
But what I had in mind, I've got a group on Facebook called the Hat Revivalist League, and it's sort of a group to drum up enthusiasm about the hats. And I thought I wanted to expand that to be like a group where people can sign up, say, for a newsletter and get some extra news and be members, and I can offer them T-shirts and all the rest of it, that kind of thing.
Mm.
Is that a proper membership site? I think I know what you mean by a proper. That's the membership site where we get our mastermind courses from, and you feed it out once a week and all the rest of it. Is that what you mean?
Let's stop using the word proper. I really don't like that word for this because it's very ambiguous. I think I can't quite remember specifically what I was thinking when I wrote that, but I do have a general feel that I was talking the difference between a commercial membership site versus, say, just a community hub, which exists for free and lets people share ideas and all kinds of things related to a topic, but isn't necessarily run by one person, you know, as a commercial entity. It can be converted into one later on. But I think the way you were describing it just now, it sounds like you just want to add more community tools to what you're already doing and let people, you know, interact with each other on different ways. Rather than charging them $50 a month or something to access some kind of course.
Yeah, that would be correct.
Yeah,
that's correct.
So, right. So in that case, you know, there's so many ways to start something like that. The problem with any type of community involvement, you've always got the issue of people actually doing it and getting involved. There's that general apathy and you know, it's challenging for people to get past the initial inertia it requires to become participants, is not just passive observers. So, you know, these calls are a great example. We've got over 1,500 people that know about these calls and get notified about when they're on, yet very, very tiny percentage actually make it live to a call. And then even then, an even smaller percentage actually raise their hand and ask a question. So Darla, you're in a very unique situation right there, you know. So that's a good example of how challenging it is, because you do need access to a lot of people. So I would recommend, to begin with, the greatest sort of test to find out and start building community is always a forum. Once you've got your blog and you've built up some good content and you've got people leaving comments and you've got people sending emails to you, then you know you've got at least some active audience. Because you can have a very successful blog with a very passive audience, lots of readers, but no one actually leaving comments. But if you then try and turn that into a community, unless they either become active or You know, you find people who are active, it's just going to be an empty community. So I recommend, you know, if you're already comfortable with how your blog's going, because I really don't like people to go and focus energy on anything else until they're really solid with their blog and it's running on autopilot. You know, they're writing new content on a regular basis, like, you know, like it's just something you do. You don't have to force yourself. You enjoy it. You know what you're doing, and you always have more ideas for topics. So you've got that handled, right? So the blog's great. Then if you want to start adding more tools, the forum is the first place I go to. So installing a forum, a tech person can get a forum up and running on your blog quite quickly. You know, it'd be like yourblogdomain.com/forum, something like that. Mm-hmm. And you just write a blog post telling people to go to your forum, and you create a few different sections in the forum. You know, you could have it, you talked about maybe wanting to do, I don't know, trading or something like that, or, you know, exchanging ideas. You just create the forums to cover each different section. And that's a great way to get started. From then on, you can go further and perhaps create a community at something like Ning, which we talked about on the last call, which is basically a service you can use to set up mini social community sites. So it's almost like owning your own little Facebook. If you're familiar with Facebook, you can virtually do anything with that.
Yeah. So I do have already that group on Facebook, but it's sort of, you know, it seems like it's just for Facebook. It should be bigger than that somehow. Maybe I should play with that more until I get the feel for that. How do you spell this Ning thing?
Ning, is it N-I-N-G?
Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Just double check that. But I've noticed a few more.
Added the link into the chat, little chat room as well. If you want to check it out there, you can just click on it there, and it'll take you to the page.
See, the reason that your Facebook group might be so much more successful than a Ning group is you've got the built-in audience within Facebook. So, you know, when you post something to your group in Facebook, it goes onto your Facebook profile. Every friend you got gets a notification. Some of them will join. So there's all this wonderful viral marketing happening within Facebook, and it's an existing community you can tap into. That makes it so much easier. You go and try and do this of your own accord. You're relying on your audience at your blog. If you have an email list, your audience on your newsletter, you know, that's pretty much it. And of course, any proactive marketing you decide to do. So there's always a much greater challenge. And you know, my forum has taken a long time to get anywhere, and it's still very, very slow and not extremely active as a forum. So the most successful forum I've ever run was my first website, basically, which is about a trading card game. And that forum took off because of one reason. People came there to trade cards, and it became the best place in Australia to trade these cards. And that was sort of like a self-feeding mechanism, because whenever people talked about trading online, they mentioned my forum, so they more people came just through word of mouth. If you can figure out something like that, some kind of angle, and make your site, you know, have a specialty, have some kind of niche service and it establishes its presence for that, then you can have wonderful results. But just be prepared for a hard slog.
Yeah, I got it. Thanks. As for the... Well, we shouldn't call it proper membership sites, but the full-fledged, full-on membership sites with paid to belong. Will you be covering that in Blog Mastermind, or is that an extra course that you have, Vera?
Yeah, that's an extra complete course. In fact, it's opening properly, there's that word again, to the public in April. So you can actually join now as a Blog Mastermind graduate. It's been running sort of as a secondary upgrade, but it is a complete course. So, you know, it's, buying a membership site is, you know, different to building a blog, but it requires quite a bit of commitment to get one going. So, you know, obviously I had a lot to teach in that area. So
I'm not a graduate. Yeah, I've got a month to go.
Right. Well, you can decide. Listen, I'm releasing a report in April, which will be free. You know, it's typical of the kind of reports we've released before. It's full of content, and you can, you know, get a very good idea of what's required of you to launch a membership site just reading that report. So just look for that in April.
Okay, will do. Thanks a lot for your help, and all the best, and keep it up. Thanks.
Thanks, Darla.
Thanks, Darla.
All right, moving on to the next caller.
Hey, Yarrow.
Hello.
Hi, this is Hector from calling from Redmond, Washington, in the United States. I enjoyed the course very much and very excited about getting into blogging. So I appreciate all the help you and Gideon have been able to provide us. Question is this. I'm trying to do, I assume you're listening to me. You can hear me correctly. That's right?
Sounds great. Yeah, go ahead, Hector.
Yeah, the question is, I have, I follow the videos. I've been able to get a blog up and running. So I'm, just to frame this properly, I'm fairly new to blogging, not to computers or anything, but to blogging. I've mostly been a reader. And I established, follow the videos, establish a blog. But I want to do, the plan all along that I've had is to have three related blogs. And this is a blog for community of Hispanics. And I want to address three types of this, you know, of topics, and I want to make them different blogs. So I follow the instructions, and I got one blog going. But now I say, okay, I have this website, and now I have this blog. Then you go to that website and get this blog, the blog number one, let's call it. And my name is Hector, so let's say it's hector.com, and you dial that, and you get into my blog. But how do I do if I want to have three blogs out of a site that I can, readers can choose? Oh, I want to see topic number one, or rather go to the other blog that has topic number two or something like that. How do you do that? Is that, I did to the forum a little bit, and they talk about WordPress MU as an option. Another option was to do various installations of Word WordPress. But do you need some kind of template to have this home site in, and then from where you direct to different blogs? I don't know if you can give me some pointers there.
Hector, why do you want to have three different blogs? What's the differentiation between them?
Well, different topics. For instance, one's going to be talking about, say, music. The other one would be talking about, say, sports. The other one about business and career stuff. So there, it's not topics that you can easily mix. It's more about, there's a lot into each one of those that you could talk about.
And they're all under the umbrella of Spanish, is that, or Hispanic?
Correct. Of a Hispanic community. That's correct.
Okay. And you want to host them all in one domain name? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. So that people will go there and feel that, you know, they can have a conversation on either, you know, music or sports or business or career or stuff like that.
Okay. And you want each blog to have a sort of different look as well, like a different header and you know, a different feel to it. Is that right?
Not necessarily. They could have kind of the same theme to it. You need to know that when you get into one blog, you're in music and not in sports, other than that differentiation. And we'll have kind of a sub, this is the, you know, music and a little bit of a subtitle there so that you kind of set your mind frame what is it that we're after there. But, other than that, no, actually, I would rather have them have some kind of the same feel to give them some kind of unity.
Yeah.
But other than that, they're different topics.
Okay. I kind of have a feel for what you're trying to do there. I'd do this in one of two ways. Either, you know, you have your domain name, you know, let's call it Hispanic blog. Oh, give me your domain name. We can give you some exposure. What's your domain name?
Latino Web Cafe.
Okay, so latinowebcafe.com. That could be, you know, that's obviously your homepage. Now, you could install three installations of WordPress, one for each site. So latinowebcafe.com/music. That would be one installation. You put it in that music folder, and that runs as an independent blog. You would then do the same thing for /sports and same for, what was it, /business and news. So that would be effectively three different WordPress installations, each having their own folder under your domain name at that blog.
Gotcha.
Now,
gotcha.
The advantage of that is you do have complete independent control of each of those sub-blogs. A WordPress multi-user license can do something, not license, multi-user script version of it. I think it can do something similar to that. And you could use subdomains as well. You could have music.latinowebcafe.com, sports.latinowebcafe.com. Either way, you know, really doesn't matter because you treat those as folders. So I like that because you get control over each blog independently. You can control the graphics of each blog, so you could have separate headers if you want. I don't like that, though, because your content isn't necessarily, you know, you're spreading yourself across three blogs, and it might be, depending on how you're creating content, challenging to keep each blog updated. You know, there's a lot of work with three different blogs. And if you also would have to decide what your main homepage has. Like, it would probably just have a link to the three different blogs you have. Are you here for, you know, or maybe even be some kind of an aggregation site that takes the headers from each of the three blogs and puts it onto that one site, which would be really, you know, like a news portal for Latino you know, topics. That's cool. That being said, you could make this less complicated and just install one blog at that domain name and create categories for each of these different topics you want to cover. Now, the advantage by doing that is you have one blog, effectively, one domain name that, and all the content going into this one system. It's a very, you know, it's not a big difference between having three blogs, because no matter what, you're putting all this under one domain name. So it's still going to be considered a hub. It just might be easier for you to manage one installation of WordPress. And then all you have to do is tick the appropriate category. If you're writing a sports column, you tick the sport category and it goes into that. And with WordPress, when you have categories, the structure, assuming you activate permalinks, which you should do if you've gone through our course, it will look like latinawebcafe.com/sports, if that's the category you create. So in effect, it would look very similar to having three installations of WordPress. And in fact, if you use, you know, out of the box, you can't do this. But if you use a special theme or get your designer to do this, you can control the look of each of the categories. So you can still customize maybe the header or even just the title banner. Like, you might have the same overall design for the blog, like it's the Latina Web Cafe header and the sidebar and the footer. Then when they're in the sports section, there's just a banner that appears always at the start of the articles that clearly signifies this is the sports section. And that would be a way to sort of keep your site still in a kind of like an online magazine format with these different categories. And to me, that just feels easier to manage. You're keeping it all under the one brand, and it's only one installation of WordPress. And your homepage can then aggregate all the content from the different areas you're writing about, essentially like a magazine. You're talking about running a newspaper or a magazine here. So it's a great model. You just have to keep producing enough content for it. So that, I'd go with that second option, one installation of WordPress, use categories. But if you do want the extra division between the three, you can use separate installations of WordPress.
That's perfect. And I think that that last suggestion also allows me to move. I have very little content so far, but whatever content I have, I just have to recategorize it, and it will just go into that category. And I can repurpose, I guess, the main page for a kind of an about type of information about the web, about the website. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I would do that. And I would also make it like a portal, so it pulls, you know, the best headlines or the most recent headlines from each of those sections. In fact, if you get one of those themes that have a built-in magazine look to it, where it doesn't actually put the whole article, it just puts little squares of each section, you can get a very funky-looking website, a very good blog, and then you have all those categories divided up, and it looks like a magazine on the front page, but it's still a blog. So that's quite effective.
Perfect. Thank you. I think that'll help a lot. Thank you very much.
No problem, Hector.
Keep the good work.
Thank you.
Just, Hector, if you are looking for magazine type themes, there are some at woothemes.com that's pretty funky. But I know there's a whole lot of other ones around as well. But that could be a starting point for you. I'll chuck that into the chat room as well.
But if I install, here's where my novice thing comes into play. If I install a new theme, put that over, erase anything I have already there, or I just put a new folder and put it under a new folder or something like that?
No, that's the beautiful thing about blogging, is that you can change your theme without affecting your content. And so, you know, that's one of the really cool things about blogs, and especially WordPress blogs. You just install the new theme and activate it once you've installed it. And, you know, then it'll simply just change the way that your blog looks. You may need to customize some of the things depending on the theme. But then it'll just keep all that content on your blog. So it's really beautiful.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
All right.
What was that URL, Gideon?
It's woothemes.com. So I'll just put it into our
Woo, W-O-O?
W, yes. W-O-O and then the word themes.com.
Okay.
So I've just entered that into our little chat room.
Cool. W-O-O-T-H-E-M-E-S.com. Great stuff. Thank you, Hector. And moving on to the next caller. We'll go back to the previous caller who tried last time and wasn't there. So here we go. Hello, caller. You're live again. I'm thinking that this caller, your microphone may not be working. So if you're speaking, we're not hearing you. Nope, gone. Okay, moving on to the next one.
Hi. I just have two kind of, well, I was going to say dumb questions, but no questions are dumb. I missed where you said the live chat was, and I'm looking all over your site, and I can't find it anywhere. So that's question number one.
Okay, that's
you know,
it.
For the people for you know those that are chatting in, and you said, well, I'm going to chat in thus and so. It's like, well, I don't know where to go to find what you're putting in there, so I'm stuck.
Yeah, that's all right. If you know the page with had the telephone number to call in for this call, the teleconferences page at entrepreneurs-journey.com/teleconferences, there's a big link now on that page. It's a square, blue square, that links to the live chat. So if you go back to that page where you found the phone number for this call, you'll see it at the top there. And if you click it, it'll take you into the tiny chat room.
Okay. There was just a little blue square, so it's a very tiny, very tiny chat room. Okay.
If you click that blue square, that will open up a new window for the chat room.
Okay.
Is that working for you?
Yeah, I see something there, but, it's kind of like all shadowed, and you know, except for it says or click here to sign in and tweet with friends on top of it.
Yeah, so just let it finish loading. You just have to type in your nickname.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that. Okay, because I mean I found this and it's like okay, I'm still lost here.
That's all right. Yeah, you type in your nickname. We actually got quite a room full of people there, so you can interact with them.
Okay. And then my next question is, because I was looking at the forum today and it's like, well, if you're a premium member, you're at the wrong or you're at the wrong blog or something. And it's like, okay, where do I go? Again, yeah. I'm new to this, so I need
That's
a little
fine.
Bit of.
It's at a secret address we don't tell anyone. You get it in your welcome pack, but it's privatemembersforum.com. So it's a bit tricky. At the moment, the two forums look the same. I'm actually about to have the free one changed in design, so it'll be very clear that that's not the private one. But if you go to privatemembersforum.com, and I don't know when you got your welcome email for joining the program. If it's an older email, you'll have the old address, unfortunately, because we did change it a few months back. And privatemembersforum.
Okay.
And you can move the S around in that, and it'll still go to the right place. And you'll know, just look at the address. As long as it says private members in there, you'll know you're in the right place.
Okay. And then, it looks like I'm in the right place now. Yeah, good. It's just been a little bit confusing. I'm just taking lots of different classes and trying to implement all this stuff at the same time, and it's a little daunting.
No problem. Well, I'm glad you used the call to find the answers.
So I appreciate it. Well, I figure if I didn't know it, somebody else probably missed the same thing. So just trying to be helpful too.
Actually, someone else has said thank you very much inside the chat room already for asking the question. So it's all good.
Good. Thank you much. I think everything else is kind of good to go. I have two blogs. I heard somebody else that has three. Mine have different audiences, different topics. And I've got tons of content, so I'm not worried about that kind of thing. It's going pretty well. And what I'm working on, and I presume that this is the way to do it, is to also be writing articles, and then in the resource box, I either direct them to one blog or the other blog, depending upon the article. Does that make sense?
That sounds right. If you're doing article marketing, is that what you're talking about?
Right.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, you'd write a type of content that logically connects to one blog, so you'd point to that blog in your resource
right.
box.
Right. Yes. Okay, that's what I'm doing. Okay, thank you much. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for your call. All right, moving on to our next caller.
Hi, Arrow. This is Liz from Florida.
Hey, Liz.
I have a question. When I heard the previous caller, the Latino Cafe blog, I have a similar situation. When I started the course, I didn't know what I was getting myself into, so I made two WordPress installations instead of using categories, like you say.
Okay,
so I have a question. Let's say I have a travel website, and the name of the website is My Travel Site. And under that, there's a folder called Photoblog where I have another WordPress installation. My question is, do I need to also put Google Analytics on that second WordPress installation so Google will catch what's happening there? Do you understand?
I think so. Gideon, you can verify this for me, but I'm pretty sure you would have to, because what will happen if you put the analytics on one installation of WordPress under the theme settings, it will only apply to that installation of WordPress. So you'd have to go and then do it for the other one because it has a different theme running. Is that right, Gideon?
Yeah, sorry, I was just on mute there before. yeah, that's about right.
Okay, so yes, the answer is you will need to put the code onto two blogs. Whatever, how many installations of WordPress, they each have to have the analytics code on it.
Okay, so that's something to keep in mind. More, in other words, every time you have a WordPress installation, you're just doubling the work. You have to duplicate the plugins.
Pretty much, yeah. And the other thing to think about there is, it's funny because you'll have, like you just described, you have one domain name, but you've got two installations of WordPress running. Uh-huh. Now, when it comes to Google Analytics, because you have that set up, it's going to treat that like two separate websites too, even though it's the same domain name. I mean, it will aggregate it because it's on the same domain, but it's still coming from like two different installations of WordPress. So it does complicate things.
Yes. And would that explain why when I go to my control panel on Bluehost, it seems like I have a lot more readers, and then Google Analytics says, let's say I only have 30. And while
no, unfortunately,
well, they
no.
say I have, okay.
I used to really kind of annoyed me. Google Analytics is the most, I can't really say it's the most accurate, but it's considered, a very accurate statistic. The thing with statistic services that come with your hosting company, they often use Webalizer or AW Stats or something like that, which is a script you install on the server. Now, the good thing about this is it's on the server, so it gets behind the scenes information that Google can't necessarily track, because what these stats do, they look at server logs, which are like the logbooks of all the traffic coming to your website. The problem with that is often these statistic packages don't differentiate between a human being and a computer. So if it's a robot, like a search engine spider or something like that coming to your website, it will track that as a unique visitor, where Google Analytics is often better at distinguishing between real visitors versus computer visitors. And that's why you'll get a lower number at Google Analytics than you do with your web stats, as much as 50% less, in fact. So I have a lot more traffic according to my server statistics than what Google Analytics says. And if you want to feel good about yourself, look at the web analytics stats, not the Google Analytics stats. But the truth is most people trust and refer to Google Analytics more than anything else.
Okay. Can I ask another quick question?
Sure.
I wrote to you about this a while ago, and you said don't worry about it, but my GPR is still at zero, even though I've been blogging for 5 months. However, I didn't have any description of or keyword tags until just like 2 weeks ago. And also, it wasn't until January 15th or something like that when I made my site public. Could that have something to do with it?
You mean your page rank? Is that what you're referring to when you said?
Yes. Yes.
What's your domain name?
Corsica Journeys.
Corsica.
I can type it if you want on the chat.
You can, if you want to, go ahead. It helps your promotion, if nothing else. I'm just typing into Google to see whether you come up. And,
only because I saw a site with a GPR of 2 that has about 10 articles, maybe less. And
yeah, you're showing up at Google. So, and that's the important thing here. Yeah, you're definitely showing up. I type in Corsica Journeys into Google. You're coming up as obviously the first and the second result. Now, that means Google's found your website, which means you exist. And if I look at the toolbar, you actually have a page rank. It's 0. So that means you exist. You've just not accumulated any authority links from other websites.
Okay.
Now, bear in mind, PageRank is very dated. So it's looking at data from 3 months ago. So even though your blog's been alive for 5 months, 3 months ago, it may not have had many links. So that's why your page rank isn't very prominent. Next update, or I don't know how they're doing their updates nowadays. It's become even less of a reliable tool. You should get something because I presume because you've been working on your blog, which by the way looks very nice. I like the mountains. You should have more links built up since then, and you'll automatically get at least probably a page rank 1 or 2. So, but don't stress about this. The fact is you've got a search engine result. If I go to Google and type in Corsica Journeys, you're there. That means you are going to get people, or you're going to get your pages showing up in those search results. And over time, you're going to see more people coming in from Google as a result of you producing content. If you can build up more links quicker, then you're going to get even better results quicker.
Okay. Well, okay. Thank you. And
no
thank
problem.
You, thank you, Mitch, for the comment.
No problem.
Okay.
Yara, have you pressed the button for the next person yet?
No, I haven't, Gideon.
Okay, there's Steve inside the chat room saying that it was him before that we couldn't hear him. And Steve, if you're listening, perhaps maybe just ask a question inside the chat room and we can attend to that maybe after this next one. How does that sound, Yara?
I'll agree with that, Gideon. I think it'd be nice if we could hear Steve, but if your Skype voice is not working, then yeah, chat room's the way to go.
Okay.
So, cool. All right, I'll move on to the next one.
Hi, this is Sammy.
Hi, Sammy.
Hi, Sammy.
I'm from the Sunshine Coast. This is the first time I've been on the call, and I am a beginner blogger.
Great, welcome.
Thank you. Finding the course really great, so thank you for that. I don't know there's no way I would have been able to do it without the course, that's for sure. I'm very non-technical, and the next question is a rather blonde question, and I'm allowed to ask I'm allowed to say that because I am actually blonde. but I just wanted to clarify something, Yara. You talk about in the lessons about articles, and I wanted to just clarify that an article is actually a post, isn't it? There's not a difference.
No, I guess you can clarify. There's blog posts, there's blog pages, and then you could have articles which you might submit to an article marketing site as well. Ultimately, we're just talking about content, but with WordPress, when you've got a post, it functions differently to a page. And are you familiar with the difference between those two?
Yes.
Okay, so I want to explain that. So essentially, whenever I say articles, I'm referring to content, and usually I'm meaning posts on your blog.
Okay, cool. Because I get the difference between like an article and a pillar article. But I wasn't sure, like whenever I post something on my site, I'm assuming it if that is what you mean by an article.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, some people, if they're not used to blogging, they don't understand what a post is. It's something you stick in the hole in the ground, isn't it? So you know, I often call things an article for the general applicability of that word.
Okay. No problem. And I've just got one other quick question. My site is, my blog is like a inspiration life sort of site. I have sort of started looking at the pillar articles, the different types of pillar articles that I can put on there. I guess my question is it absolutely necessary to do pillar articles? Because I kind of feel like they don't entirely fit with the feel of my blog.
Yeah, but let me clarify what I mean by pillar, because people get confused and it sounds like you're perhaps looking at it a little bit too rigidly. The pillar article, it's really a result. It's not a format so much. You can use certain formats to help get that result, and that's what I teach. But really, you should always be seeking the result of a pillar article, because that's what makes a blog successful. You know, it means you get traffic over time. It means you get people sending links to you. You get comments. You get people sending emails. Essentially, you're getting engagement from an audience. So it doesn't matter how you write the article or what you put in the article. You should never feel restricted by that. It's that outcome you're looking for. So when I suggest to people write a how-to article, I know that's perhaps something you find that doesn't necessarily apply to what you're doing. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Don't feel restricted by that. Ultimately, we're looking for good content that gets a pillar article result.
Okay. Great. Thank you for that.
No problem. No more questions?
No, that's it. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, I've got one more hand up. So if you haven't asked your question yet, we've still got time. So you're welcome to press *9 and get yourself in the list. And no questions too easy or too hard. If they're too hard, we just can't answer them. So next caller.
Hi, guys. It's Rhonda. I have a tweet deck. I can't even talk. Tweet deck question. I've found, I've been on Twitter and I found that strangers are finding me. I mean, they're not weird strangers or anything, but is there a way that people are doing like topic searches on the words in my posts and finding me? And how can I reciprocate to find people who post about things that, that people I can follow and try to lure into my circle?
Gideon, you're a TweetDeck pro.
I'll give it a go. This more than one way of finding people that tweet about certain topics. The most obvious one is just to use the search function inside TweetDeck. And if you go to your TweetDeck application, right at the top, there's a little icon that looks like a magnifying glass. And so you can simply click on that and it'll open up a little window where you can type in a search term. And what's cool about that is you can use those logical Boolean arguments as well, like, for example, tennis and cricket. And it'll bring up any posts that had both tennis and cricket inside their little tweet. So that's one way of finding it. And so then you can look at who posted those comments.
I have a question, if you don't mind me interrupting.
Yeah, sure, go for it.
I did set up a search and it does a little, brings up the little window in the upper right-hand corner, the little black window with the red dot. And it shows okay, I've got 76 people, I guess, are posting about horses, but I can't get to them. So how do I get to these people?
Okay, so are you using
click on it and go to it?
Are you actually using the little search icon that I just explained?
I thought I was. Let's see. Log out. Because I've got my tweet deck up right now so I can follow along. Where is it? Oh, the Twitter search.
Yes,
is that you're talking about the little the little magnifying glass?
Yes.
Okay, let's put something else in just for.
Yeah. So when you type something in there and click on search or whatever, it's submit.
Okay.
Enter. it'll actually open up a new column inside your TweetDeck application.
Oh,
and that'll okay. That inside that column, it'll bring up all the different tweets that's been made with that particular term in there. And then you can go through them and look at which ones are actually relevant to what you might be interested in. And then you can click on people's profiles and read more about them and follow them and write back to them or whatever else. So it's a really handy little tool.
There it is. Okay. I just didn't scroll far enough to the right.
Okay.
I know. You must think we're a bunch of idiots.
Now, look, some of these things can really trip you up for hours if you don't know where to click exactly.
Then you find out and you feel like slapping your forehead. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, Rhonda. And while we're on the topic of TweetDeck, let's give out the URL, Gideon, and maybe you can just briefly explain to people why it's worth getting on board with TweetDeck and using Twitter.
Okay, yeah, well, if you can look for that link, it should be on the Become a Blogger free blog as well, the link for the video on that, and that explains you exactly, you know, what TweetDeck is and why you should be using it. But basically all it is it's a fancy application that you can install onto your computer, either a PC or a Mac, and it allows you to use Twitter in a much greater capacity. Maybe I should just say, if you don't know what Twitter is, it's essentially it's like mini blogging, but you only get 140 characters to submit, whatever you're up to during the day. And so you can go to twitter.com to check it out. But then TweetDeck is something that's on top of that, that basically just, it grabs the stuff from Twitter, all the information, all the text, and puts it into this fancy looking interface that just allows you to use the information much easier and much better and much more effectively. It's kind of addictive, so you got to watch out for it. But really, if you watch that video, it'll show you in a lot more detail exactly how it all works and why you should consider using it. Have you been able to find it yet, Yara?
Oh, I didn't realize I was supposed to be looking for it now. My bad.
It's just on, if you go to the...
I linked to it from my blog too, so I'll... Here it is, becomeablogger.com. I'll put it in the chat room. becomeablogger.com/blog/x-factor-twitter.com. And the actual service is at TweetDeck, which is TweetDeck, DECK.com. And here's in the chat room. I think that's the one you're referring to, right, Gideon?
Yes, that's the one. And the heading of that particular post is X Factor Video, the tool that Barack Obama uses to influence hundreds of thousands of people. In fact, he did use it during his campaign for his presidency. And he was, I'm not sure if he still is, but at the time of recording this video, he was the number one person being followed on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He had something like a quarter of a million people. And so it was huge.
I think there's quite a few celebrities jumping on board now. I've seen Britney Spears, Ellen DeGeneres from The Ellen Show. So it's obviously starting to hit, I guess you'd call it mainstream. I don't know what celebrities aren't really mainstream, but it's becoming very popular. And it's definitely well and truly past the tipping point now, I'd say. So definitely a good time to get on board and start familiarizing with how it works, at least, if nothing else, because it's fun. So anyway, we have another caller.
Great.
Hey guys, it's Mitch. How are you? Sorry, I got on late.
Hey, Mitch. That's all right.
I got a quick question. My forum, I had to like almost block it off, where it's like it makes people have to really jump through hoops to register because I'm just getting pounded with spammers. They're all Russian porn sites, people selling watches and airline tickets. So you guys know who I'm talking about. It's just there's thousands of them out there. And I think it's those people that they say, hey, we'll submit your site to a million places and I allow signatures in my forum. So they all like, you know, they try and get in there and then they post these spam posts. So I made it so I have to approve every person that goes into my forum. And it's like, it's just painful. Is there a way around this, or do I just let them in and then every time they post the spam, I knock them out and block them?
Mm.
It just seems like I fight so hard to get people in. I even, I steal your line, Yaro, all the time. I never credit you either. I always say, and I'll see you in the forum. You know, when I end my videos, I say it every time, but I never credit you once. So I'll just credit
you. That's all right. I stole it from someone else, so it's okay.
Great line.
Mitch, I'm having the same problem with my current public forum as well. And I'm using vBulletin. I can't remember. Are you a vBulletin user as well?
PHPBB.
Yeah, okay. So that could be an issue as well. I've got another friend of mine, Fran, who uses highonhealth.org. She has a forum there. It's a vBulletin forum. And I was surprised because her forum's probably got more exposure than mine does. And yet she's got very little spam issues. Now, she has a couple of plugins installed because vBulletin has quite a strong support community. So they've got forums to help deal with spam. And whatever it is, it's working for her at the moment. My forum is getting flooded with pornography as well. In certain places, it's weird. They seem to be able to find ways in certain forums, but they never hit other forums. So I know it's automatic robots doing this, not human beings. Now, I've gone to the point where I'm moderating every post in that particular forum, but it would be ridiculous to do that long term because if it's, if spam increases, then it's just silly. You won't be able to do anything all day except for approve or delete posts. So there's a couple of workarounds. Obviously, get into the PHP bulletin board community and find out what everyone else is doing because they've got to be having a similar problem. You're not the only person suffering from this issue. And see what they're coming up with for solutions. I know with vBulletin, there's quite a few layers of moderation you can go through. You can have it, there's a spam filter, which you can have it moderate, or you can have, like you're doing, automatically, stop anyone unless they've made two posts that have been pre-approved before, kind of like WordPress comments can work. And these methods can help, but no matter what, you're creating a manual task. So I've got two moderators my forums who obviously, well, I've got more than two, but, Blaine Moore, everyone who's in the forum should know who Blaine is. He's the main moderator of my forums, and he actually, part of his role, he's a paid role. So he helps out not just because he's a good blogger and knows a hell of a lot about blogging. He also is performing the maintenance role there and maintaining the spam and deleting it in exchange for monthly sums. So that's worked well for me because it's I don't have to look after it, and I trust Blaine to do that, as well as Joel, the blog tech guy. He helps out a bit as well there. So that's a solution. Get yourself some of your best forum moderators and ask them to be the spam cops as well in your forum. That will take that job off your shoulders anyway.
All right.
That's about all I can say.
It's just painful because, you know as well as I do that just to get people into the forum is so hard, and just, the more to put them through and the more, it's just they give up, and it's like,
yeah.
It's so worth it once you get it going. All right. Thank you very much.
Hope
everyone is well out there.
Me too. You guys up in North America should be getting happier. The cold weather will be stopping now, so.
We're trying.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. Okay. All right. So I've got no hands up for everyone. We've hit the hour mark, but I'll give everyone a chance for a couple of minutes before we end the call. If you do want to ask a question, you can press *9 and raise your hand, and we'll do a few more questions before we wrap it up. If no one has any more questions, we'll wrap it up now. Nothing in the chat room came through. I think I saw a couple of things, Gideon, before.
Yeah, there were some questions, but I think we did cover them, or they were at least covered inside the chat room. I've been trying to get in touch with Steve there, but I haven't seen a question from him just yet. So, Steve, if you're listening, you can type your question in there, and we'll try and answer it through voice. Other than that, I'll have another look just to make sure there's nothing else there, Yara.
Really good to see a variety of people in the chat room, too. We've got Canadians, Americans, Aussies, and that's it. It's a very, I guess given our time frame, that's to be expected. So, Steve's back by the looks of things. All right, I've got a caller.
Okay.
Hi, guys. It's Mike again from Fort Lauderdale. Just one last real quick question. I know you're going to be releasing the video information, as you mentioned, within the next module, but overall, is it very similar to add the video content to the blog as it was to add the audio player? Is it much more complicated, or is it about equally complicated?
Video is always going to be more complicated, Mike, because there's more involved, and most of your complication is going to be in the production side of things and getting it ready for getting it online. It also depends on how you want to do it. I mean, if you're just going to be using YouTube for your videos, then it's a little bit easier and simpler, and I think that's probably going to be the main method that we teach in any case. But it does. I don't think you need a. You won't need a special plugin necessarily for video, but yeah, it depends on how you want to do it. It can get tricky, but you can also just keep it as simple as possible. My suggestion is for you to go and have a look at the videos on getyourvideoonline.com. Have you had time to have a look at that yet?
Yeah, I did, but unfortunately, I was half asleep when I was watching. I was so tired. Okay. But I'm going to go back over them again. I guess my problem is that I've been trying for a number of weeks now to get video, and I'm just doing just basic. I'm doing some screen capture things, and then some very short live action video. And I've got these other two products that I bought that supposedly help you put your video up on either a blog or any web page. I'm having a devil of a time getting anything up there. And I know that you're supposed to copy everything to the same file and give it the same file name and then upload them. And you should be able to import the video files right into the WordPress blog after you click a couple buttons here and there. But I'm having a devil of a time. And for me right now, time is of the essence because I've got folks that are in a membership program with me that's offline, and we're trying to take it online by putting the video and the audio up on my blog. So, and I've got the 2.7 WordPress blog.
Okay, and so these videos are just meant for your members, is that right? So you don't want it to be available for the general public, is that correct?
Well, they'll be for the members, but there are a few that are going to be made available for the general public, similar to what you guys did on Become a Blogger, the regular blog set that you guys have. It'll be very similar to that.
Well, a really quick solution, Mike, is to simply just use YouTube for your normal videos that you use for the general public. And I actually show you inside getyourvideoonline.com how to do that and how to get your video onto your blog. It's video number 6 if you go in there. And it'll show you step-by-step how to actually do that. Now, you can also use something like YouTube to host your membership videos as well. Of course, the challenge there is that someone might find your profile and who's not a member and then be able to watch the videos. But a way around that is to create a sort of a non-descriptive new profile in YouTube, just call it a weird name or something that no one would ever search for. And when you submit your videos, once again, just give it a really weird name, like a bunch of numbers or something, so that and don't give it any keyword tags, so that people can't necessarily find them through the search results through YouTube.
Okay.
So that's one really easy and quick way of doing it. Yeah. It's not the best, but it's a way.
I appreciate that, and I'm sure that will probably work too. Definitely. Just to follow up on that one, with regard to uploading them through YouTube, because I have not done that yet. I watch a ton of those videos, but I haven't uploaded anything yet to YouTube. Once you do that, I mean, how long will you have access to, that particular format? I mean, if you put something up there, if they don't like it, or for whatever reason they decide to take it off, then you're kind of screwed. Which is why I like to. I wanted to get things squared away on my own, blog that I can control, which is why I don't use that blogger deal.
Right. If you're using something like YouTube, yes, of course, there is a risk that they might go under and they end up taking your videos with them. However, the chance of YouTube going under is, I would say, very remote.
Not that they would go under. I'm sure they're going to do nothing but grow for a number of years. But I'm just saying, sometimes as you're watching things on YouTube, you constantly get this thing where they're recycling or they're trying to, the video's trying to reload, and it becomes a headache. I don't know if it's just due to the way that a person uploaded the video or if it was not set right or something.
Yeah, it could be a number of reasons, and so, but if you follow the the guidelines that YouTube provides on their website, and I also talk about it. In fact, I show you the exact right format to use in the GetYourVideoOnline.com videos, so that it will display in the most in the best possible way on YouTube for good quality and good streaming, and so that everything goes hunky dory. From that point of view, YouTube should work just fine for you. Now, there are some cases where some videos, become not available anymore on YouTube, and that's mostly videos that have a copyright infringement or something like that. So as long as you have unique content and you actually own the content, then you shouldn't have any problems with YouTube. Of course, you're talking about controlling your own content as well, and actually controlling where you save it and upload it to. Now that gets a lot more complicated, and I'm not sure if we'll be teaching that, but I might create another course that will go into those details. But it's a lot more complicated than just using something like YouTube, because you need to host your video files on a separate specialized server for that, and that's already just that is quite tricky to set up. And on top of that, then you'll need to learn how to properly display those videos from that server on your blog or on your normal website. And that in itself can be a little bit tricky too. So I'm not sure if we'll be covering those aspects inside Become a Blogger, just because it's quite technically challenging.
Yes. But, very much so. And that's why I'm pulling out my hair now.
So. But there are much easier ways of doing it. You don't need to go that that route. You can just use something like YouTube or any of the other video sharing websites and just use those tips that I've already given you.
Okay, I appreciate it. And I'll definitely go back over to your separate site and go back through those videos while I'm awake, and I'm sure I'll be able to grasp them then.
Yeah, and watch all of them, because each one build on each other. And sure, the ones on GetYourVideoOnline.com only shows you how to use a webcam for creating your videos, but the same principle should apply for a normal camcorder as well.
Okay, alrighty. I'm doing it with a little flip video deal there, so.
Okay, well, that should be really easy. It's one of the best cameras for online video, so that's great.
Okay, thank you guys very much. The call was wonderful tonight, as usual. Thanks.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, we got one more caller. We'll do this one, and then we'll wrap up the call.
Hi there, it's Bonnie again. I have just realized I have a couple questions. When you're posting and it says send trackbacks, is it important to send trackbacks to other people's blogs, or what do you do with that?
Trackbacks, it's funny, when I first started blogging, I really was impressed with trackbacks because it was like a way to create a link back to your blog whenever you wrote a post, if it was referencing someone else's post. And it was also a good way to get the attention of the other bloggers. So if you write a post that's very similar to their post or even references their post, this almost flags to their attention. And then once you have their attention, there's a more chance of them reading your blog and maybe even linking back to you organically in a future post of theirs. So I think it's a worthwhile activity. And given that WordPress will do it automatically for you, as long as you have send trackback pings on, which it should have it by default, then you're fine. All you have to do is make sure you reference other blogs by putting a link to their post or something on their blog when you post your article, and it will attempt to send a trackback. The only issue is there's so much trackback spam nowadays, with automatic trackbacks being sent out from spam blogs, that it's often difficult to get a real trackback through all the noise and all the spam filtering. So because of that, I just switch on the automatic feature. If it gets through, it gets through. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So just don't worry about it. As long as you have that feature active, you're good to go.
Okay, now, and is there a way that you can, because every time I do it, I have to, you know, re-put in whichever places I want to track back to. Is there a way to be able to insert a whole list of ones at a time?
Now, when you're doing this, it sounds like you're using the manual input box to put the track back addresses in. Is that what you're doing, Bonnie?
Probably, because I don't know any other way.
Okay. What will happen if you don't do that, and let's say you write a blog post, and within that blog post, you just write, you know, there's also a really good article on this subject at this blog. Here's the link. And then you link to that person's article within the post itself.
Uh-huh.
Your WordPress blog will attempt to leave a trackback on that blog, regardless of whether you've done it manually. I used to do it like you do it. Now, the difference with that is if you go and do it manually, you're kind of potentially forcing trackbacks on other blogs where you're not necessarily referencing them in your own post.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of nicer when, you know, you're linking to their article first in your post and asking for a trackback at the same time. So I that's the way I do it. You know, sometimes though, you know, there's an article that's just, you know, you want to get the attention of someone with this article, but you don't want to necessarily link to their post. You can put that manual trackback ping in there.
Okay.
But like I said, I stopped doing that a long time ago. And you've still got the issue of spam. So it's going to make a challenge.
Okay. And then my other question is, I've got, we installed the thing that says all in one SEO pack, and there's a place for title, and then there's a thing underneath that, and I'm not sure what goes where. Does the title of the blog go where it says title, or is that where the title of the blog post goes? And then I think underneath it is where the kind of a little description of you know, what the post is about.
Okay, it sounds like you're talking about an individual post page, not the configuration settings for the plugin.
No, it's when you're doing a post, and you know, you scroll down to the bottom, and then it says all in one SEO pack. And there's a spot for, you know, while you're doing your post that you can put in the title and then a little description. So is that title the title of your blog post, or is it the title of your blog?
That's the title if you want to change it on that individual blog post.
Okay.
So if you don't fill that in, it will just use however you've got permalinks, or not permalinks, however you've got titles set up on your blog. So it'll probably be name of the article followed by name of your blog, if you've done it correctly.
Okay.
So that's what SEO title tag is about. It's supposed to help you do that. If you decide, though, for example, you know, you might have this title that's ridiculously long and doesn't include any keywords, and you just want to have a shorter phrase for search engine purposes as before that article title. And we've got to be careful here. We're not talking about the article headline. That's the headline on the actual post. That's what people see just above the content. We're talking about the title that's in the blue bar or whatever color bar at the top of the browser window. And that's the title that search engines use to basically as the most paramount set of keywords relating to that article. That's the ones that will get the most weight. It'll show up in search results, so it's likely to be clicked on if it's a better title. So that's why they give you the option to control that if you want to improve it. I very rarely have manually changed my titles. I've changed my permalinks to make them shorter, and occasionally I've changed my title if I want to include a keyword that isn't already in the headline that would automatically be there in the title then. But most of the time I don't even use that feature.
Okay. And then that little descriptor thing that's under that, do you use that or
I haven't. I don't worry about that. Again, that's a search engine related function. You know, when you see a description underneath the title in a Google search result, that's the section where you can manipulate that. If you don't put that in there, Google will attempt to generate that for you based on the content already in your blog post, usually by taking the first few sentences or something like that from the content. So if you want to force a more succinct or accurate or descriptive or better keywords description, you can put that in that section there. You know, this is when if you're really gung-ho about your SEO, then you can control all these aspects. I find that I rather write new content, and you know, I maybe I'm lazy. I don't know. I've never used that feature.
It ends up getting very time consuming, you know.
Yes.
And so it's like, okay, how anal about this should I be? You know,
well,
and
as anal as you want to be, know, you need to assess your results against your actions here too. So if you're seeing improvement in your Google search results, your content's appearing where it should be, it looks good, there's no need to go that anal about it.
Okay. And now the other thing, because there's a place for you to put the keywords down there, and there's also a place for you to put tags and categories. Well, you know, my keywords are basically what my tags are. So do I put them down there also, or just do the tags, or just do one or the other?
I would focus on tags. Tags are much more heavily weighted and get you better results with search engines than keywords do. When those keywords there, they're talking about our meta description keywords. So they're the very old keywords that used to be important in the pre-Google days, when search engines only used the meta tags as a way to describing content. Nowadays, it really doesn't do much. It affects something somewhere, but that it's not really worth putting those keywords in. Again, it's not a high value activity. Tags, however, create almost like little subsections within your blog, which have content underneath them and often rank very well. My blog, some of the best results I get are from tag-based keyword searches. So I always recommend people do somewhere between 4 and maybe 10 at most tags on each post, and try and not replicate what you've already got in there as keywords, just slightly, basically similes, similar words to describe the same thing or similar industries, something like that.
And then should you try to have, I mean, sometimes I'll tag something because I know that this would be of interest to that audience, but maybe that particular tag is not in the text. Should I always be sure that I've got that tag in the text?
No, what you just described is great. I like the way, if it's not in the content, put it as a tag as a way to double up on it. Good idea. Again, you can try and be anal with this and try and get everything into your content, but if you're impacting the effectiveness of your content to do what it needs to do, which is engage the reader, not just the search engine, then you may just use the tags for that function. So,
okay. See, I knew I'd come up with some questions other than how do you access the damn things.
Those are good questions, Bonnie. Thank you very much.
Just took a little bit, so thank you. I when I post, then I got all these questions like, oh God, I wish I could ask them. When is the next call? Oh,
yes.
Good, it's coming up, and then I didn't write them down ahead of time and, you know, without the window, so. But
no
I started looking at a post so that I knew what my questions were. So thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Very good.
Okay. Mr. Shawick, any last comments before we wrap it up?
No, I think that's pretty much it. You did well today, Yara. I'm impressed. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gideon. Yeah, you did a good job, too. Oh, I've lost you, Gideon. You there?
Yes, I'm still here. Can you
okay.
hear me?
Sorry, now I can hear you. Yes. Okay, yeah. So no other comments. Great. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on the call and in the chat room, if you made it some time to participate there. And as always, this call recording will be put on the teleconferences page within 24 hours after this call is finished, so you can go back over and have a listen to that or any of the previous calls we've done. And there's quite an archive there. So if you've never gone over some of those calls and you've got some research time, or, you know, you're in the car or going for a jog, something like that, download one of those calls and you might learn something new from the previous question and answer sessions. We'll schedule the next calls for next month very soon. And that's it from us, I guess. So thanks, everyone, again. And as always, oh, thank you, Gideon. And what we always do at the end of these calls is to unmute the line and everyone will be active and you are welcome to say goodbye, where you're calling from, how the weather is. Thank you for participating in the call, whatever it is you like to say, and then the call will end. So here we go, everyone.
Bye.
Good night.
See ya.
Good night. Thank you for all your help.
Good night and good luck.
Bonsoir, Quebec.
Bonsoir. Manitoba.
Quebec.
The moderator has disconnected. The call will now end.